Blog Talk Radio.
Social Marketing with Dr. Ron Capps. I'm Ken English, and today we're going to talk about social media, some of the new wave things that are coming out every day, Dr. Capps, on the email that I get from some of the producers of material, of information products. I see new video platforms, new distribution platforms. Certainly video is the thing of the day. But This is Bike Week here in Daytona Beach, and it's been a real interesting experience. On Monday, I attended the news conference. The news conference was really just to introduce sponsors, but they brought up a couple of interesting things that I thought I would just mention. One is the changing social demographics of the biker market, and two is the operative word biker is now being changed to rider. All of Harley-Davidson's advertising is going to start to move in that direction. It's already on the banners. Welcome riders, not welcome bikers. And that's a significant shift in thinking, isn't it?
Well, it is, but then again, it isn't if you realize that a large proportion of the, quote, bikers from before, biker was an alternative lifestyle that they would take up on the weekend, and come Monday morning, they'd be back in their button-down shirts and suits as a CPA, a lawyer, or a doctor, and the like. But there's less of a stigma attached to the term rider than biker, and after all, most people alive today don't remember Easy Rider that much anyway.
No, but they do remember the Sons of Anarchy, and I think that you know, there's still a perception of a lot of that out there. And what I've seen on the streets is it's moving art now. The motorcycles, I mean, they're $30,000 and $40,000 machines. This isn't the stripped-down version of days gone by, although there's a few of them. Most of it's show and tell, which indicates that the biker community, the rider community, which is a lot of baby boomers, has some money to spend, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, and if anyone's priced a motorcycle lately, they cost about 5 to 10 times what a Volkswagen cost back when you and I got started.
Well, they had the Budweiser's Clydesdales have been in town marching around. I went down yesterday and had pictures taken, and I was shooting some video. You know, and it's really, it's a fascinating event once you get your mind into it. You know, you don't have to be an enthusiast. You don't have to be a rider to appreciate the art of and the body art as well. I mean, it is a very unique place, but there's bands everywhere, and it's very festive. But it's changed over the years, you know, and again, that's part of that demographic. Next year is the 75th anniversary for the community here, and they're already talking about it because obviously that's going to be a big thing. But they're really searching for an identity. You know, the epicenter of right downtown in Daytona Beach, that's been diluted over the years. There's now a big venue up a few miles away that the motorcycle people spend a lot of time at. Several other communities have recognized how significant it is and how much money it means to the community. So there's bike festivals, motorcycle festivals in Leesburg and, you know, other places in the state. I bet you there's even one or two in the Midwest, isn't there?
Well, there's a little one up in the Dakotas.
I think I've heard of it. Sturgis?
Yeah, you know, they would look at Daytona and say, Daytona what?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, but it's on the East Coast, and the one's way in the middle of nowhere. So You gotta make your choices and all that. But enough on bike motorcycles and riders and things. It kind of was a social commentary that I thought I'd open with. What have you been working on, and what do you want to talk about today?
Well, before we get to that, let's finish up the commentary and realize that there's a very good likelihood that a lot of the riders that you're seeing on the streets of Daytona Beach are the same ones that are on the streets of Sturgis. They know no boundaries when it comes to their love of motorcycles. As long as they can get there on their two wheels and travel in their pack, they'll probably be there.
Well, very true. You know what's interesting, and you know, I will conclude it with this. I've been searching for and posting videos of the GoPro camera on a motorcycle. Last year there was one or two. This year I found a half dozen already. You know, people that put a GoPro camera on the motorcycle and ride down Main Street, and it's really quite fascinating. Like, you get the feeling. On some of them are better than others, but you get a high definition cameras, and some of them are a little lower res, so maybe older cameras. But it puts you right in the center of the feel for it. So the technology, and certainly people are taking pictures, they're posting it to Facebook and Instagram and all of the other social media applications. Interesting days ahead, I guess, is the only thing I can say with it. But I'm going to go back. And, you know, this is the last. It ends this weekend, so I'll be going down a little bit later, checking it out. The weather right now has been very good. It was the 5th of March. It was 91 degrees last Thursday. The 6th, when the event opened, it was 61 and raining. And then it's progressively gotten nicer. But the weather is just so much of a player in these outside events, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is, and fortunately, if you get good weather, it makes for probably a much more enjoyable event than if you were to get a thunderstorm come up and have everyone scrambling and trying to cover their rides so that they didn't get any blemishes or water spots on them. But going to the GoPro camera for a moment, that has been a major revolution that has been out there, really evolving over the last couple of years, that allows a person to actually be almost involved and almost get the experience of being there. And it reminds me of the concept of cinema verite that Philip Leacock wrote about and talked about back in the 50s and 60s, which was reality and cinema. And really, the GoPro camera is just that. It puts you on the back of that, you know, motorcycle, bike, hog, whatever you want to call it, and you almost have the feeling of it as you go down the road, and you see the perspective as close as you can from the person that has the camera strapped to their, you know, body or their head, depending on where the placement is. And it really does give you that truth in cinema. In particular, if you air it live streaming or without edit.
Well, and some of them are longer clips. Some are 2 or 3 minutes at a time. Obviously, the longer the clip, the more work that goes into the uploading and all of that. But if you went to my website, DaytonaInternetTV.com, and you scroll down, I've been curating these videos. I recognize that I can't be in all these places. Don't really even want to be in some of them. But I have an interest in seeing what they're like. Now that I've found that I can simply go to YouTube and Google webcam Daytona Bike Week 2015, and poof, all of a sudden things come up. I can start to pull some of those, put them online. I've been playing with the website. The newer websites have the capability of putting a background video. So I had one of the motorcycles playing in the background, but it's a little distracting, so I backed that off a bit. But on the website right now, I found a webcam that shows the ocean. You know, and even though inland the sun is out, the sky is blue, the ocean has that temperature variation, and it's so foggy that you can't see the water from the hotel that the webcam is mounted on. It's really just amazing how the weather can splinter in those short distances of space. But I got some emails this morning on the ultimate new theme for WordPress. Constantly, everybody's got the next best thing. What are they doing to make it so much different? I mean, I've got some free websites that, you know, templates and themes that I think are pretty darn cool. What else could they be doing with some of these things?
Well, I don't know if you're referring to the new video theme that was launched today.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. That is a particular theme that I went ahead and I got, but I didn't buy any of the upsells. And in reality, the only reason I purchased it was to get the bonus package that Tracy Mauger out of Ireland had put together. It was well worth the $14 investment in itself. The theme itself, it gives you a way, the pitch is so that you can market yourself to local businesses, and you have a mobile-ready demo site that you can go in and you can, I believe the pitch was, meet them at IHOP and sell them over a pancake or whatever. And the theme is borders on almost misrepresentation, to the extent that on the initial sales page they talk about Google Maps and all these kinds of things, and yet when you get inside, all of a sudden those become part of the upsell. And so I haven't looked at it in detail yet, but my suggestion for anyone is be very, you know, wary of it. And they offer a package for X number of dollars where you get the same videos that they're giving everyone else for working with real estate or working with lawyers or working with DUI attorneys or working with pizza parlors. And in reality, I already have videos that fit all of those niches. So, and in fact, they may even be the same ones that they're pitching again here as a repackage. So I'd be real careful with that. Now, one of the uses I can see for the basic theme itself is if you want to integrate it into a website or another blog you have as a theme for a particular page to display something on. But I don't think I would rely upon this as basically a turnkey site. And that's what their real pitch is for, is buy our upsell, and now all of a sudden we'll give you a contact page, and we'll give you an About Us page, and we'll give you this, and we'll give you that. And they're all going to look the same. Oh, no, you've got 16.4 million colors you can choose from. Well, anyone that's got a blog's got 16.4 million colors they can choose from. So, you know, hype. The best theme that I've seen personally out there, and one I would recommend everyone get if they haven't got it already, is ProStyler. It really is a flexible, modular theme that you can do a ton of things with. Another one might be the Atom Labs corporate theme, but I really like ProStyler right now. I've been doing a little work with it on a couple of things, and we're getting into things where you've got integration, things like a revolutionary slider and virtual visual backends and visual graphic editors and so forth built right into the themes. And they're extremely flexible. They have a ton of templates available, but you can also do your own. Another is an InstaBuilder 2.0, which isn't technically the same, but that's another program if you're looking to design sites. And I look back and I realize how far we've come over the last decade from what used to be available out there to design sites. I can remember Excite Pro was one of the first that I used. And recently he made everything available that has ever been around for Excite Pro as a one-time offer, getting out of the business for, you know, X number of dollars. So everything tends to run its course. There will always be evolution.
there'll always be themes. I picked up an offer in the last month or so where you've got essentially access to 300 and some premium themes. So rather than have to pay $97 for a WooCommerce theme, it was part of the package. And those are always nice to have to get a little variety. If you're running a lot of different websites and a lot of different blogs, but for a person like yourself or most people listening to this program, a good, solid, flexible theme like ProStyler really, you know, would fit the bill. Now, I know you've got a couple of themes that you've used that you like that are available for free out there. But they don't have the functionality and they don't have the flexibility, they don't have the responsiveness of a theme like the ProStyler appears to have, and in my working with it, does have.
Well, certainly, I don't know what I don't know type of thing. I look back, I started with Front Page, and all of a sudden it's gone, and then I got to learn something else, and then fortunately for me, the WordPress themes came on, and I remember you talking, and encouraging me to look at Magazine Basic, which is you've evolved quite a bit from off of that. I've found several that I like, and then I'll see something else, and and then part of it is to the image and what you're trying to convey. I mean, I like the full screen images. I like the ability to play around and put video in the background now. But I also recognize that too many bells and whistles is very distracting. So it's a balance, but it just takes time. And I think that's what people tend to neglect is the recognition that you can buy a theme, but it doesn't automatically populate and put content and do stuff. You got to learn how to use it, don't you?
Well, yeah, although ironically, most of them or many of them do automatically pre-populate, but it's pre-populating with not necessarily your copy or what you want up there, but little hidden nooks and crannies that essentially are giving them backlinks and taking people to their sales products and so forth. So you really need to go through the theme whenever you buy it if you're going to install it and check it out so you can go through and scrub it up a bit before you put it out there. Just something to be aware of. When you said Front Page, it took me back to when I got started. I never liked Front Page, never went down that path, but I was very adept at using Netscape to go in and design websites going back into the mid-90s. And to a lesser degree, Dreamweaver, and then along came Composer with a K, and that became a preferred HTML editor for me. It's still out there, still available for free. You can still do CSS and a lot of things with it. And if anyone's ever looking for a good standby HTML editor, I'd still recommend they pick up Composer and have access to it. It comes in real handy for designing HTML pages and stuff occasionally, even if you want to integrate them into a WordPress blog.
Well, that integration is something that I'm still uncomfortable with. I tend to put a theme up and assume that that's all that I can do. But you had mentioned it earlier, you can have more than one theme within a website, can't you?
Yeah, you can have more than one theme. You can have regular HTML pages integrated in, or you can cut and paste HTML code into the text of the page or post on your theme if you're staying consistently WordPress. Or if you're setting up a menu item, you can have a menu item link to take them to a straight HTML form or an HTML page outside of the WordPress site itself, but still within the WordPress navigation. There are a lot of things you can do, but you've got to take the time to take the risk and chance and see how it works. There is so much training out there available that it's almost paralyzing. And so what you have to find are some good basic courses, and then the best thing you can do is get in and play around with it.
find a site that you're really, you know, I wouldn't choose, quote, your money site or a very important site, but you might have a domain that you experiment with. For example, you can buy a domain through 1in1.com, an info domain for 99 cents. And, you know, WordPress proving ground, whatever you want to call it. And you don't even have to have it indexed. Or there was a package out this last week, Localhost, where you could download 23 different testing areas for WordPress so you can test it on your own server before you upload it. And those are always good ideas because WordPress is famous for making changes and things getting broken. So better to find out if it's going to break before you put it live for the public than put it live and have everyone telling you it broke. So, that's a good investment. I own a couple of domains at WP, at WordPress, and WordPress WP Vault. And the at WP is essentially a place I can go and test any plugins or things like that. And then people like our friends, or my friend anyway, Robert Plank and Lance Tomashiro come along, and they've reactivated their WordPress repository for your own server or WordPress directory site to where you can keep control and find all of your WordPress plugins. Well, you can also do that with a file folder, or you can do it with a website, in particular one you're not trying to drive a lot of traffic to or really use in other ways, by just installing them there. But you realize if you've got 150 or 200 different plugins, many of them are going to conflict with one another, and you're better off to leave them deactivated and only activate them as you go to test them. Same thing with themes, and have them all there, and you can always then export them, download them, or whatever to your other blogs. The other thing I chuckle at when I see these people coming out and they, you know, here, buy our WordPress product and we will create websites for you in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. Well, I got news for you, gang. You can take your plugins, you can take your themes, you can load them into the basic three WordPress content areas, WP Admin, WP, you know, Content, WP Includes, and you can copy those over or copy over the WP content to any blog you create by using FileZilla or an FTP uploader, and you just create the website, upload all the plugins, and upload all the themes. You didn't have to go out and spend money to do that, but you have to take the time, and, you know, I've got what I call a WordPress master file, and if I ever want to do anything, I have a stripped-down version, I have a full-blown version, I have a preferred version. All I have to do is take those folders and copy them over by FTP to the new blog I created, and they're there. All I have to do is go in and activate them then.
I have this mental image of your virtual storage area. You know, as you talk about all the things that you have, and it, you know, we've talked about terabytes of memory, but I see this Indiana Jones kind of thing going into the mind with all of these elements that you have. How do you keep track of them, and what do you plan on doing with them?
Well, a lot of them are going into the Resale Rights Club. One thing that I will be doing here over, you know, the next infinite amount of time is I'm going in and I'm totally segmenting out my communities on AWeber, and I've cleared with AWeber that as long as they are not coming into the same exact community, or for want of a better term, a more understandable term to a lot of people out there, list, I can put them in with the same email address. So if a person is interested in video, I can put them in the video list. But if they're also interested in resale rights products, they can subscribe to that list. Same thing with PLR or video marketing. And I'm looking at segmenting it out that way so that people will only receive material from me directly related to what their interest is. And if they have different interest levels, that's fine.
they will come from a different email community. And some of the communities will be what I call pitch-free zones. And by that I mean there will be absolutely no products ever offered for sale in them. There will purely be educational items. There will be tips and things like that there, but never a link to buy a product from an email. And I want to see how the community responds to something like that and see if that does make a difference. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't subscribe to the, you know, Resale Rights Club or the Products Club or the JVZoo product community, because there, for example, if they subscribe to the JVZoo product community, and by the way, I do have four domains related to JVZoo I've just picked up, everything will be JVZoo related into that area. Same thing with other things I do. I'm trying to make them very targeted and highly segmented. I don't care if there are 5 people or 500 people or 5,000 people. I think I'm going to see if what I assume to be correct is correct by doing it.
Well, I know I would like to not get a lot of the stuff that I get. But sometimes it's hard, you know, when you're in the learning process that you say, well, gee, that looks interesting. I'd like to know more. The problem that I see is that so many people share lists, and the next thing you know, you're getting I get 5 or 6 notices of the same product being offered. And as you said earlier, you bought a product because of the bonuses attached from the selling person, not the product creator, but the marketing person who's in that loop. So you can pick and choose a little bit, but you know, it still becomes overwhelming. You know, you get 15 bonuses. That means you got 15 more things to look at. People need to be careful, don't they?
Well, yeah, and some of it will be good and some of it will be crap. You know, let's be very real. I happen to have a fondness for some of the thing that Tracy Mager does with her characters, and most importantly, in this particular case, I wanted the 3 Professor Hans von Puppet intros for marketing videos. I'm using Professor Hans for outros in promoting the Heartland Hypnosis Conference, and the videos are great intros. It puts a little color, a little personality into things, and to me, those 3 videos alone were worth, you know, buying the whole package and getting the other bonuses. Now, there happen to be other good products in there. She has some great backgrounds in there for an office environment and some other things in there that can be used. So, but I didn't have to get an email from her, although I obviously did, because I'm part of the Facebook group that she has. And frequently you'll find more and more ways that you can rely upon things like your Facebook groups and Facebook communities for information like that. I'm not necessarily talking about Facebook fan pages. I'm talking about the private groups and the closed groups and some of the public groups.
Well, there's certainly a lot to be said about social media. You don't have the time to say too much more. You want to just wrap up with a thought for the day or the week?
The thought is, don't be overwhelmed with everything that is out there. Don't be afraid to be selective. Increasingly, I'm finding that everyone now knows to have OTOs. If you buy enough products, you'll realize that some of the people are always going to hit you with a one-time offer. And if you tell them no, I find it amazing how many times they give you the same offer on the next page for, we understand that your budget may be tight right now, but, and they give you a lower price, or they give you a split pay program or whatever. And those things, you know, if you think that it really is a one-time offer, and if you click off the page and you'll never see it again, that's the true pressure of a one-time offer. But what I found is most of the one-time offers are for a while offers, or a sometime offer, or if you come back within the next 7 days offer. So don't feel pressured into taking action right now on everything once you've got your name in the funnel.
believe me, they will remind you that you didn't follow through and buy their other offers. So, you know, use some judgment, and don't be afraid to do your own testing. Don't be afraid to put what you already own to use rather than going out and merely accumulating more.
Well, certainly that's good advice, and, you know, I appreciate your time once again. Learned a little bit more. I actually looked for Tracy Mager, and I found her website, and, you know,
yes,
I can
it's
see...
It's Vydeo, V-Y-D-E-O.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Vydeo, V-Y-D-E-O.
V-Y-D-E-O. Okay. I'm going to look at that as well. But there's just a lot of people. The one site that I went to was talking about Explaindio videos. Well, it's one thing to acquire the Explaindio video, and then it's another thing to really understand the way the slides work and the frames and the timing. And, you know, the people who do the webinars, they are certainly, they're many times the product creator or very from the beginning, and they know how to do it and manipulate and move stuff around. But when you step back and you have to do it yourself, you know, I think a lot of people are overwhelmed by these type of things. It's nice to see the characters move and talk and they can jump around, but the timing is so important. The scripting, you know, to have something timed out and work, matching it with the music, all of those things are really important, and they are learned processes, aren't they?
Well, yeah, they are. And that does remind me very quickly of something. I believe it's still available. Anyone out there that is interested in Camtasia, they are running a sale. It was for 3 days. This may be the last day. I'm not sure. If you go to appsumo.com, appsumo.com, I believe you'll be able to find the offer there. If you personally want the link, let me know, Ken, and I'll send it to you. And it is a legitimate offer of the real Camtasia Studio at half price, which is something they don't normally do. Now, if you already own Camtasia, it works out to be about the same as an upgrade price. Or if you're an academic, if you go into eBay and look around, you'll be able to download the whole package plus snag it for less than the amount of this discount. Just passing that along, increasingly for a lot of things being done out there, I'm seeing benefits of using Camtasia over some of the other products out there and actually integrating some of those products into Camtasia itself. But I thought I'd mention that before we hung up today.
Well, thank you very much, and I'll check that out. I'm interested in Camtasia. In a short period of time, can you perhaps tell me why Camtasia would be better than Sony Vegas?
A lot better if you're doing things with animations and graphics. I'm not going to say it's better than Sony Vegas because I've never used that. I can find a lot of things I can do with it that I can't do with the other video editors I use. My suggestion to you would be to Google the name Milan Naylor, N-A-Y-L-O-R. Lon has been doing Camtasia training and Camtasia products, boot camps, and so forth for a long time. I think my interaction with Lon goes back to probably about the same as when we started this program around 2008. And he and Joey Zotto have out a product that they had released that is really excellent Camtasia training that is called Screencast Pro. It's not a video product or a product per se, other than how to effectively use things like Camtasia and how to get it to work with things like Explaindio and Easy Sketch Pro 2 and Video FX and the like, and PowerPoint also. So, as an aside to anyone out there looking at Camtasia, I think Lon is a far better person to tell you
why it is really something that you should investigate and consider using. I know I've had it for a long time, going back to version 5, but I'd never used it. And now I can see uses for it as it's evolved, and they're now at version 8.5.
Well, we'll continue this conversation in the coming weeks. Maybe I'll become more familiar with it and then I'll be able to contribute something about Camtasia. Thank you once again for your time. I look forward to doing it again soon.
And by all means, remember that there is a 30-day download, free download of the full version of Camtasia to see if it's something that works for you or not. And if it doesn't work for you, obviously don't buy it. But if it does, you'll now know what it can do and how it fits into your plans.
Excellent. Thank you, Ron. This is Ken English on behalf of Dr. Ron Kapp, wishing you a very pleasant and productive week. We'll be back.